Good morning, church. Staying in the house this morning?
Free my Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus today? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we have so much reason to celebrate today. We celebrate your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent all the way from heaven to this earth, Lord God, to come and to pay a price for our sins, to build that bridge back into your presence. And so today, this morning, Lord, we celebrate the life and the blood of Jesus through which we have a righteousness today that has come down from heaven to us. We recognize that we are sinners, that we have not been perfect, but we recognize, Lord God, that your mercies are new every day. And today, Lord God, we can step back into your mercy. If we have failed you, Lord God, we can ask forgiveness and know that you forgive us and that you remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. So we celebrate, Lord God, the righteousness and the salvation that we have in Jesus today. Jesus, we pray that as we move throughout this time this morning, that we would lean into your presence, lean into your purposes. We know that you have something good in store for your people today. So help our spiritual ears to hear all that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us today. May we receive it. May we respond to it, Lord God. And may all your good ministry be accomplished in our church today. And we just praise you and we welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's pause right now in this part of our service to pray for Pastor Lisa, our youth pastor. And Pastor Lisa, can you come up this way? Deanna, help her roll this direction, if you would, please. I know she doesn't want me to put her on the spot this morning. Can you roll? Pastor Lisa had ankle surgery, what, 3 weeks ago? About 3 weeks ago. This week, in the last few days, she's had some major complications and is unable to stand on her foot. She spent the night at the emergency room at the university two nights ago. Has been to the hospital here. No clear answers, but she needs a miracle in her foot. She needs a miracle. We believe the Bible declares, is any sick among you? James chapter 5. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint that person with oil in the name of the Lord, and healing will come. And we want to believe that together this morning. So I want to invite, let's do strictly as the scripture says right now. Let's have the pastors and the deacons come and join me here at the front, please. Dr. Presbury, would you get the anointing oil there? Or Joe Don, as you come, please. And let's pray over Lisa right now, the healing touch of the Lord today. How many of you can exercise your faith with us today? Lisa is a full-time youth pastor here at this church. She goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And she wants to go. Yeah? And so we want to pray the Lord will really touch her this morning and bring healing to her body. So Bob, pass that microphone to Brother Phil LePage. And Phil, would you lead us in prayer for healing for Lisa today?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the promise of your word, for your word will never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
You're not like a man that would lie, but you give us hope and promises that were yes and amen.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, for the promise of healing, you took stripes on your back. And Peter tells us that it was past tense. It says, by your stripes we were healed. So, Father, we appropriate that. And your word says, if two of us agree as touching any one thing, we shall have what we ask. And Father, we agree. We anoint Lisa with oil. And we agree, Father, in the word of God, that she is healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Pain is gone. She is healed. The strength is returned.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you in advance because you are the God who raises the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, I don't want to take away the opportunity while we have the anointing oil ready. Is anyone else here? Brother Larry, guys, run, grab the bottles of anointing oil, please, if you would. And we'll take another moment right now. If anyone here this morning has a sickness or some kind of a difficulty in your physical body and you'd like to be anointed with oil and prayed over, we'll just pray quickly over everybody in the house who'd like prayer this morning. Come on and join us. Step out right now and come And we will lay hands on you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord and pray the prayer of faith for you to experience the healing power of Jesus today. Come on, come quickly though. Don't make us wait today. Come on, come on. I see you coming. And congregation, please stretch your hands this way and agree with us in prayer for the healing power of Jesus to touch people today. Thank you, Lord. You are the Lord, our healer, Jesus. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, Jesus. And with your stripes, we are healed. We are believing your promises today and praying in agreement, Lord, for your touch today upon your people in Jesus' name. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Yes, Lord, you are our healer today. Lord Jesus. You are the healer, Jesus. Jehovah Rapha. God who heals. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Restore strength. Renew us today, Lord. Fill us with your power, God. Thank the Lord for hearing our prayers today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the provision you made at Calvary when Jesus, your Son, died upon the cross, bore the stripes in his body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Father, for hearing us today as we've come to you in agreement and in faith, Lord. We pray this entire congregation of believers today would experience the renewing of their strength, the refreshing of your presence in their lives and every part of their beings, Lord. May we sense the renewal that comes from the presence of the Lord. We thank you for these blessings now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you this morning. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And before you're seated, please turn and greet those around you in the name of the Lord. God bless you this morning.
You may be seated this morning. I want to take a moment and share a few quick announcements with you. First announcement, we also want to welcome those that might be visiting First Assembly for the first time. If that's you, we send out a very warm welcome and want you to know that we are thrilled that you have come to check us out, and we want to get to know you. So if you wouldn't mind, please take a moment to fill out the information card that's on the seat directly in front of you. If you'll fill that out and then swing by our welcome center that's located in the lobby on the right-hand side as you exit the sanctuary. If you'll swing by there, drop that off. We'll have a team of people there to receive you. And we have a nice gift that we want to give to you for being our special guest today. So God bless you. Thank you for being here. A couple other quick announcements. In case you noticed, you might have already noticed this morning, but we have our angel tree that's set up in the lobby. Our church, once again, is participating in the Prison Fellowship Angel Tree Ministry. This program provides gifts to children whose parents, who has a parent or a loved one who is currently incarcerated. And here's how the ministry works. We have placed the angel tree in the lobby, and on it, it has the names of children that currently have a parent or a loved one that's incarcerated. And these names are written on a paper ornament, and they include the child's gift wish list. We currently have about 62 names on the tree. And we're asking for volunteers to take one of the names from the tree and then go and purchase some gifts for that child and place them back under the tree by December the 14th. The suggested guidelines for purchasing the gift is one toy gift and one clothing gift. And that would come to a total of about $40. Jackie Estes is our volunteer coordinator, and she will be positioned at the angel tree to help assist with any questions that you might have right after service. And we want to thank you ahead of time for helping us bless the children this Christmas season. One other quick announcement for all the 30s and 40-year-olds in the house. We want to remind you of our upcoming Christmas party. It's actually this coming Friday night, next door in the gym at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a lasagna and a lot of other nice sides to eat with it. And child care is provided. And so if you've not signed up yet, please do that. If you got any questions, please get with Pastor Deanna, and she can answer those for you as well. All right, that's it in the way of announcements. If you would you stand with us once again as our worship team comes to lead us?
My Savior, God.
morning, everyone, as we look to the Word of God together in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Terry Mitchell, would you stand along with all of the Christmas decorating team? Everybody who helped Terry on the decorating team, stand if you would, and let's express our appreciation to them for good work this week in preparing our sanctuary and facilities for Christmas. We're looking forward to a good season of good food. Would you say amen? And let's look to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 this morning as we go to the Word of God together. One thing is needed. You'll see Jesus making that declaration at the end of our brief story this morning from Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." This has been a wonderful week of Thanksgiving. Family, friends, food. And much work has been required of many of you here in the house this morning. How many of you know that Thanksgiving is work for a lot of people? Several years ago, we discontinued our Wednesday night pie fellowship on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving due to the outcry of so many of our women who were not aggravated about providing pies, but urged upon us the necessity of taking into consideration all the work that has to be done on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Many of you this week have cooked and served and cleaned and repeated and repeated. And we appreciate all of those who serve. Would you say amen? The ladies in my family have served me well this week, as you can probably tell by looking. I have feasted like a king, and I feel very loved. Jesus himself came to serve, and Jesus highly commended those who serve in practical ways. Service is love in action. Today in the scripture, we see a woman who was a model servant. Her name was Martha. Everybody say Martha. Martha, she was the sister of Mary and Lazarus. We think of Mary and Martha in the scriptures as sort of twin compatriots in following Jesus. Years ago, we had in our congregation our own Mary and Martha. Mary Blake worked for our church for 18 years as part of our body of believers. Mary was one of my dear, dear friends and encouragers when I first came into the ministry. Mary Blake and her sister Martha, who came to Jefferson City not long after I had come here. And Mary and Martha, those two sisters, I have often said that in many ways they were both Marthas, because they both loved to serve. Mary, with her homemade custard pies and beautiful homemade bread, and Martha with her signature cinnamon rolls. And those ladies knew how to bless their pastor, let me tell you that right now. Mary and Martha. In the scriptures, Martha is one of my heroes. I love her story. I love her heart. I love her hard work. We examine her story this morning to bring us, though, to a necessary reminder from Jesus in the middle of a busy world of work and service. We want to begin this morning. We've read one story from the Gospel of Luke about Martha, but I want to look for a little while at some more information on Martha from John's Gospel. Let's think about John's Gospel and the record of Mary and Martha. First, we're going to look for a little while into the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. these three siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, had a home outside of Jerusalem in the little village of Bethany. And when Jesus traveled through the area, as he often did, moving from the north in Galilee to the south in Jerusalem and Judea, Jesus made that journey back and forth on many occasions. And on a regular basis, when coming toward Jerusalem or getting ready to leave Jerusalem, Jesus camped out at the home of his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they tended to him and cared for him. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to meet Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and it's going to be a great joy to hear the rest of the story as it relates to Jesus' life and ministry. These were three wonderful friends and spiritual family members to Jesus. And so we find some more about Martha at the story of the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. Look at John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Verse 5. Well, let's think about, first of all, some notes regarding this story. As we begin that story, we realize that Mary and Martha both believed in the healing power of Jesus. When Lazarus fell sick, they sent word to Jesus, "The one you love is sick." Verse 5 says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Second note about Martha, Jesus loved Martha for who she was. How many of you would love somebody who cooked for you on a regular basis? Say amen. Yeah, he loved Martha. We continue at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. The third thing we note about Martha is that Martha was first to welcome Jesus onto the property. This is a woman, clearly, who is gifted with hospitality. And she meets Jesus as he enters the area. Down to verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now listen, this is Martha, verse 22. "But I know that even now," everybody say even now, "Lazarus is dead in the tomb, but Martha says to Jesus, I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." What do we find out about Martha here? We find out that Martha believed that Jesus could raise the dead. How many of you understand that is great faith? Secondly, we find out that Martha believed Jesus was the Son of God. Martha had already here, before the crucifixion, before the resurrection of Jesus, Martha had a settled, firm faith in who Jesus is and his reality as the Son of God. On to verse 38 in the story. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. I like the old King James Version better. It says, by this time, he stinketh. Martha reminds Jesus that Lazarus has been dead 4 days, and if they roll away the stone, they might smell a bad odor. What do we find about Martha here? Well, we find that Martha was practical, protective, and modest. Now, sometimes we read over these scriptures without thinking about what they say about someone. Martha was concerned even about a bad odor coming from the tomb. How many of you believe Martha was probably a great housekeeper? No? We move on to verse 43 in the story. Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And there is Martha to witness the resurrection of her brother Lazarus from the dead. Now we move a little further into the story of Martha. One other passage that gives us a glimpse into Martha's life. It comes a week before the crucifixion in John chapter 12, verse 1. This will be a familiar story to you as well. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha what? Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, many have read that little story and have said much about Mary. But we're looking at Martha this morning. I want you to know this morning, I want to make note to you that Martha served and worked to honor Jesus. Do you see that? Lazarus is where I would be, reclining at the table. Huh? Mary is doing her perfume thing. That's a big deal too, isn't it? But the dinner could not have taken place without someone serving the meal. And there is Martha in her ordinary station, taking care of the details of dinner. And so we see a lot about Martha from the pages of Scripture already. Now let's return to our original story, which we will use to bring us to our final thoughts this morning. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I don't know if we can go back to that on the screen or not, but let's think about the scripture here and this little story again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's make some notes now from this story in Luke's gospel about Martha and what led Jesus to make this powerful and important statement that applies to all of us today. Number one, Martha was doing dinner for the disciples. Before we pass by the detail, I want you to notice in the scripture in Luke 10:38, the scripture says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Did anybody here this past week have a whole house full of people? Anybody have a whole house full of people? We had a house full, didn't we? We had a house full. And you know what it is to have a big crowd come for dinner. Everybody's moving around. There are many details that have to take place. Much work goes involved in preparation of the house and the seating and the meals, and people are bringing in this, that, and the other. And Martha was doing dinner for the disciples. She was a hospitable homeowner. I direct you to note that the scripture says this home was the home of Martha. And Martha had a sister. Martha is the homeowner here. Perhaps they had joint custody, but the scripture plainly declares she is the homeowner. And she is a hospitable homeowner. She has the gift of opening her home, no matter how much work it involves, to bring everybody and welcome everybody in. And we note that she was a hardworking hostess. In fact, she says in this statement here that she's doing all the work. She's working. Are there any women here who are tired from the weekend? You're tired this weekend from Thanksgiving. Yeah? The three of you admit it, but 300 of you, yeah. Yeah, I see those who are dozing this morning. I know you're tired from Thanksgiving. And Martha is a hardworking hostess. She was doing dinner for the disciples. Number two, Martha was distracted in the midst of this. Look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was what? Martha was distracted by all the preparations that, what's that word? That had to be made. We're not discounting, Jesus is not discounting Martha's work in this, and Jesus is not expressing a lack of appreciation to Martha. The preparations had to be made. If we're gonna eat, somebody has to cook, right? And so she is distracted. What's she distracted from? Well, let's note what's going on in the house. Well, we note that the Messiah was speaking. Here is Jesus, and the scripture says Mary is listening to what he is saying. Jesus is in the house speaking. Now, if you had been there that day and you knew who Jesus was, you would want to hear what Jesus is saying. Yeah. In fact, we comb and dig into our Bibles to get the words of Jesus because we understand that what Jesus says is powerful. Isn't that right? In fact, Jesus said on one occasion, "My words are spirit and they are life." When Jesus speaks, there's power. Could I have a better agreement this morning? When Jesus speaks, there's power. And Jesus is in the house and he's speaking. Martha was there doing all of her things, but the Messiah was speaking in the house, and Mary was sitting and soaking, taking in everything Jesus was saying. In fact, she was sitting at Jesus' feet. She didn't want to miss anything. She wanted to be as close to Jesus as possible so that she didn't miss anything. After all, Jesus, though he was a frequent house guest, came and went and came and went. Here we are a week before the Passover. Here we are shortly before Jesus is going to be crucified. We don't know how aware Mary and Martha and Lazarus were that the crucifixion was coming that quickly, or perhaps they didn't even realize it was coming. But they had a brief time left with Jesus in his earthly life. And so Mary is there and she is listening. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus and she is soaking it all in. How many of you know that had to be good church? Yeah. So Messiah was speaking, Mary was sitting and soaking, and Martha was stirring and stewing. The scripture says Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Here she is, in order to get dinner ready for Jesus and his disciples and the whole crew and whomever else they might have collected from the nearby village, Martha is distracted by all of these many preparations. The third thing we find about Martha in this story is that Martha was demanding. She had enough. And she became demanding. She was frustrated. She was aggravated. She was stirring and stewing. And she became demanding. Verse 40 says, she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Have you ever said that? Tell her to help me. Tell him to help me. This is not fair, Martha says. Tell her to, notice Martha scolded her Savior and says, "Jesus, don't you care?" Sort of like the disciples out on the boat in the midst of the storm at sea, and the disciples said to Jesus, "Master, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Now, I know if you're human here this morning and you've walked with the Lord for any time at all, there has come a time where you were at least tempted to ask the Lord, "Don't you care?" Because how many of you would like to have all of your prayer requests, because they're all urgent, how many of you would like to have all of your prayer requests answered the moment they were prayed? Yeah. How about the day before? And every human being is tempted at times to say, "Lord, don't you care about this?" And here is Martha in this, in kind of a ridiculous little situation here, but it's not ridiculous to her. She's aggravated because Mary is sitting there soaking in the words of Jesus, and Mary is not up and about the kitchen trying to help her. And so she scolds her Savior and says, "Don't you care, Jesus, that my sister has left me to do the work by..." She scolded the Savior and she slammed her sweet sister. Now, everything we know about Mary from the pages of Scripture is that, you know, Mary was a sweet little lady. After all, you know, here she is pouring her perfume on Jesus. And, you know, wiping his feet with her hair. Don't you think Mary seems kind of sweetsy to you? And here is Martha, she's scolding the Savior and she's slamming her sister at the same time. "Tell her to help me." She was demanding. And Martha was, number four, Martha was distressed. Verse 41, Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." I have to say this morning, we could stop right there and preach the whole sermon on that little word from Jesus. You are worried and upset about many things. Martha was distressed. Notice Jesus double-dinged her. "Martha, Martha." I love that. "Martha, Martha." And Jesus diagnosed her and said, "You are worried and upset about what?" About what? Many things. I have a sense, perhaps from this scripture, that Martha was worried and upset about a whole lot more than just the dinner taking place. How many of you could probably think that Martha might have been a person who was given to worry and fret and stew and stress? After all, her personality and Mary's personality, they seem to be really different from each other just from these simple little notes that we have about them in the Gospels. But Martha's problem was worry and upset. She's upset about many things. She was distressed. And number five, the last chapter of this story, Martha was diffused by the Lord. Verse 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now look at me, everybody. Let's be careful not to read into this story what is not in this story. How many of you understand that God calls people to serve in his kingdom? In many ways. The gifts of serving and ministry work are all through the pages of the New Testament. God calls people to work. As a pastor, my favorite verse in the scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That's my favorite verse because I love to just throw it out on the people of God. Get to work. Work for God. Work in His kingdom. The rest of the verse says this, because you know that your work for the Lord is not in vain, right? So Jesus is not discouraging service, nor is Jesus wanting to fast this meal that He's about to enjoy, right? But Jesus is pointing to the fact that Martha is all stirred up and Mary is receiving from the Lord. Notice Martha needed to relax from the other things. You are worried and upset about many things, Martha. Martha needed to relax from those many things. All of the things she was stirred up about and stressed over that would cause her, and how many of you know that many times an outcry is a result of just the last straw on the camel's back. Yeah. So many things going on, and finally we lash out even at the Lord and at our sister. We lash out. She was worried and upset about many things. She needed to relax from those other things, and she needed to refocus on the one thing. And the one thing in this story is clear. There are many other things, even good things. Things done for Jesus, right? Many other things that are pleasing to the Lord even. But the one thing here in this story was receiving from Jesus. Hear me now. Hear me closely now. We cannot give and give and give and give and give to the work of Jesus and the work of the kingdom without receiving from Him on a regular basis as well. Are you here this morning? Yeah. It's the Lord Himself who enables us to serve Him, right? Who could come and preach every Sunday without receiving something from the Lord? Whether it's the sermon or not, whether it's the strength to do it, whether it's the presence of the Lord to make something, who could do any work for the Lord without the enabling help of the Lord to do it? And so though there are many good things to be done, we cannot give and give and give and give without stopping at times to refocus on the one thing and to receive from the Lord. That's what Mary was doing. She was receiving from the Lord. You say, what if Martha had just laid aside the kitchen utensils and turned off the stove for a little bit and sat at the feet of Jesus? Well, don't you think everything would have been okay anyway? Yeah. Jesus was reminding Martha that receiving from Him was a critical part of, in fact, was the most important part. Can I tell you this morning that what we receive from the Lord is far more important theologically and practically than anything we ever do for the Lord? Are you here? Yeah, yeah. I love to do for the Lord, you do too. But what we receive from the Lord on a regular basis, ultimately, even our salvation is not by works. It's the gift of God so that nobody can boast, right? It's by faith through grace. It's me just saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I receive it and I rejoice in it and I'm glad for it. I rest in your salvation, Lord. And Martha needed to learn the lesson that we need to receive from the Lord. We labor for Jesus out of love. And there's no doubt in this story that Martha loved Jesus. We labor for Jesus, but we can't get too busy to receive from Jesus. Lingering with Jesus, looking at Jesus. I think perhaps as Mary was listening to her Lord Jesus speak, she was also enjoying just looking into His face and into His eyes and just beholding the beauty, the spiritual beauty of the Son of God, of God come in the flesh, looking, beholding. You know, John wrote in his first chapter of his gospel, he said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the one and only of the Father, full of grace and truth. As Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, she's listening to his words, but she's beholding his countenance. She's seeing the glory of God right there before her eyes, looking at Jesus, listening to Jesus, leaning into Jesus, and drawing from him life that would strengthen her and sustain her and refresh her and renew her. The life of Jesus coming from his presence and from his words. And so as we think about our lives, I just bring this simple word of reminder to all of you who are working, perhaps stressing and stewing. This church is filled with people who work for the Lord on a regular basis. Thank you. I thank you on behalf of the Lord if I could do that. I thank you as a pastor who could never do an inch of the work of God by myself. Thank you for being co-laborers in the work of the Lord together. And I say to you that one day you will stand before the Lord and the Lord will reward you for the works that you have done in his name. Huh? Huh? Our works are precious to God and we are so grateful. But I remind all of you this morning that if you just give and give and give and serve and serve and serve and work and work and work, but you never take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from him, you're going to burn out, you're going to wear out, you're going to die out. We need the presence of Jesus. Yeah, we need that. We need more focused time in the word and in worship. We need more intentional time resting and relaxing in Jesus spiritually. And we need more time drawing from his presence and power, declaring to Jesus, without you, not only can I do nothing, but without you, I have nothing. I am nothing. I need thee every hour. And so I urge you this weekend, on this Thanksgiving weekend, to sometimes just sort of relax from the other things and refocus on the one thing and come in close to the Lord Jesus and receive what you need from him. Jesus is the giver of life. Amen and amen. Stand together, please, everybody, and let's get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Martha, Martha. Deanna, Deanna. Iva, Iva. Bev, Bev. How many of the guys here this morning would admit that mostly the ladies in the household did most of the cooking. How many of you? Lean over and whisper, thank you. Thank you, honey. Thank you, honey. Thank you, honey. Yeah. Thank you to all my family over there who keep me fat and sassy. Oh, my. After a full feast this weekend, David texted me yesterday afternoon, said, would you want to come over to our house this evening for spazania? How many of you know what spazania is? That is a meal made famous by Cheddar's in Columbus, Cheddar's restaurant. It's sort of a mixture of spaghetti and lasagna and cheese and David texted me, would you like to come over for spazania? I texted back within half a second, I'd love to. And we have enjoyed, many of us here today have really enjoyed the ministry of being served. And you know, Jesus came to serve us. Aren't you glad for that? He came to lay down his life that we might live, that we might live in his favor and blessing and joy and peace. And we're so grateful for that. So if I have just one simple practical word of instruction for you from this story today, it's simply this. Just draw into Jesus more, yeah? Draw into Jesus more and receive from him, yeah? And be blessed. Father, I thank you this morning that you love us. You have redeemed us. You brought us into your family. We are so blessed to be your children today, Lord. Thank you for the beauty of the body of Christ here this morning and for the joy of coming together to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for so much good blessing and fellowship and friendship this past week. All of your good blessings we have enjoyed. Help us, Lord, as the people of God, to realize that we need you more than you need us. And help us, Lord, to regularly rely upon your faithful provision into our lives, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, in every way, Lord Jesus, we depend upon you. We thank you for the privilege of that this morning. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here today before we leave? You have never received Jesus into your own life. But before we leave today, you'd like for us to pray with you and lead you to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Really, the scriptures lead us to that. The scriptures simply declare that if we will believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we will declare with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. If we will turn from our sins and turn to Jesus as our Lord and live for him and receive his forgiveness and salvation, we will be saved. And if you've never done that, I invite you to do that. Make the best decision anybody could ever make in all of life. We'll call I know we've already had the pastors and the deacons at the front today, but let's call the prayer teams forward this morning to be available for anyone who'd like prayer at the end of the service. And if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior today, we invite you to come as well. And we'd love to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus into your life today and begin a brand new season of life with Jesus as your Lord. Are you glad to be a Christian this morning? Yeah? Let me give you a little bit of a heads up about the Christmas season, because many are asking. We're planning, Christmas is on a Sunday this year. We are planning our regular Christmas Eve service at 6 o'clock, 30-minute service on Christmas Eve here in the sanctuary. And Sunday morning, we're planning on one service at 10 o'clock, which will also be a 30-minute service, but it will be a different service from the Christmas Eve. So if someone is really zealous and you wanna come to both Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, we're going to be here, yes? And so we invite you to be with us on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning this year. We'll send out plenty of reminders, but for those of you who are looking to make plans and preparations, and being in church is really, really is important to your plans and preparations, which I know it is, those are the details. And we look forward to celebrating this beautiful season together. Amen. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace as you draw near to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you, God's people. Go in the blessing of the Lord.